Hey everyone, welcome. It's a Stunt Granny audio. Actually, this is we watch stuff. I got confused. This is why we don't record on the first initial get-go. But this is we watch stuff. I'm Jeremy, and as you may have forgotten, my co-host is always Shahid. What's going on, man?
Nothing much since the 18 today.
And our recording device is actually working. So, wow. I wasn't prepared for that, to be honest. So, let's make small talk while I get all the links up. So how's your day going?
My day is going fine. I had the day off today, so I worked out and ran, finished setting up my computer, and relaxed.
Yes. So. All right. I had to work, but I'm also not working after Tuesday, so it doesn't matter. Okay, so I've confirmed we're actually recording, which has been the problem the last few weeks. So those of you who actually do listen to the show, the problem hasn't been our laziness or mine or whatever. It's been the recording software, and I have no idea why it's working right now, but it is, so that's all that matters. So let's get in. I worked on the house all weekend trying to get this thing done, and almost succeeded, but it also has prevented me from seeing movies the last few weeks. And I know you've seen Mission Impossible, which I've still not gotten to. But you also saw, and I think I almost said much to my surprise, but it kind of wasn't. The Man from U.N.C.L.E. came out this week. Fantastic Four came out last week. Mission Impossible was 2 weeks ago. And then you had, I guess, a surprise number one. Was straight out of Compton.
Well, not surprised that was number one because people predicted it'd be number one, but surprised by how much money it made, like how much it was number one. Like, it ended up making actually $60 million.
Now, okay. I guess maybe I'm out of step lately with my entertainment, but I figured Straight Out of Compton was going to make its money, whatever else. I did not expect it to be number one, and I also did not expect it to come in ahead of Man from U.N.C.L.E. Because the previews for that looked cool, and to be frank about it, it looked like a way more accessible movie for everybody. Because Straight Outta Compton had its built-in audience, if you want to put it in nice terms. But I also think that whatever studio heads or prognosticators underestimated the appeal of that movie. Maybe not appeal, but the people who wanted to see that movie. That makes sense?
Yeah, I think it was a combination of a lot of things. Like, one, like, The Man from U.N.C.L.E. is competing not only with Straight Outta Compton, it's competing with Mission Impossible, which actually did better. And it just seemed kind of like, I mean, I'm going to probably go see it when I have time to, but it wasn't something like, you know, I need to see. Like, it was just, oh, it looks like a cool movie, but if I don't see it, I won't lose sleep over it. Straight Outta Compton had a thing, like, timing was first of all, because it was August. It's all the stuff that's going on now with the police and stuff that fits. That whole Straight Out of social media thing, that definitely got people interested in. Every time I was on Facebook or Twitter, I saw somebody with a Straight Out of Plano or Straight Out of this.
Yeah.
I saw some in poor taste. It was one with Whitney Houston and is that one. Her daughter straight out of bathtubs. So.
Oh, all right, I gotta look these up then.
Yeah.
No, see, I honestly was barely on the computer any of that stuff over the week. The last few weeks have not been those sound that should have been there's some bad ones. Of course, that are all horrible and all funny too, but wow. But okay, so I know you liked the movie.
Yeah.
Now, I've told you the one part that I didn't like was they kind of glossed over seemingly some of the bad stuff. And yeah. I mean, I don't know what I expected since it was produced by Eazy-E, Dr. Dre, and Eazy-E's wife. Or was he married?
Yeah, they were married. So it was Ice Cube, Dre, and Eazy-E's wife. And I heard people bring that up saying, like, you know, they were talking about how the women were portrayed as, like, just being props, sexual props, or those stand-by-your-man wives, and they didn't dig too much into the other stuff. And my thing is, like, they didn't make them out to be saints, first of all. And then, two, how would that play? Like, do you really want to watch Dr. Dre beating up a woman in a movie?
Well,
Like,
but if you're gonna claim something as being the story of NWA, you kind of have to. You can't just take the gloss and not put the dirt in there. Now, dirt's a bad word in this case because it just obviously immediately comes off exploitative. But I don't. I
I was
guess.
just thinking about that. Like, how would you film that? Like, I get the point why people brought that point up, but my thing is, how would you film that and make it work? Because if you film it, then the thing is, oh, it's just showing, like, violence toward women, and it's sensationalized, it's sensationalizing that, because it was the whole thing we got, like Game of Thrones, where it's damn if you do, damn you don't. They show violence against women, and it's like, oh, they're, sensationalized violence against women. If you don't show, it's like you kind of brush it under the rug, so to speak. It's like, how do you film that? Like, just like it was, he basically beat her down like she was a damn man. That's not really something. And the type of movie it was violent enough, and it was a lot of cringeworthy spots as it was.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you would just fit that in, and the movie would just, like, screech to a halt, basically.
Yes, and this is the bad part. I'm at the disadvantage because I didn't get a chance to see it. And really, I was just gonna wait for it to come on TV or Netflix, one of the two, just because it goes back to my price thing. Like, it didn't seem like a movie I needed to see on the big screen. It doesn't. I mean, I guess maybe musically. Now, they obviously had the rights to all the music in that, right?
Yeah, and
Okay.
it was not just they were playing all their songs, and like it's almost like not just them, it's kind of like a history during that time frame, because you had a lot of stuff they were playing beforehand, like you get where Dre would get his samples from, so they played a lot of those oldie songs. Then they would play like stuff that were like happening during the 90s. Like, if you listen to it, the songs made sense, but they didn't, like, shine a light on it. It just fit. Like, that movie was 2.5 hours long, and I didn't realize how long it was till we left. Like, it zoomed by.
Yeah, that was something that surprised me when you told me that. I figured this was an hour and a half thing. But it covered way more than I expected it to. When I would watch the preview, not preview, but the TV trailer, and all of a sudden they started playing Ain't Nothing But a G Thing. And someone tells Dre, wow, that's really good, man. I'm like, that wasn't an NWA song. What the hell are they doing? I thought it covered just the band. And
No,
then
yeah.
that's pretty sweet that it actually went through. Like, this is pretty much the time, like, the end of me listening to rap was this stuff.
Yeah, it basically
So.
covered from them getting together till Dre leaving Death Row and starting Aftermath. Like, that's when it ends.
Okay.
So it goes through that time frame. It just, yeah, it was another thing that was hilarious. It was two parts. One, people are just surprised by the demographics, and it cracks me up whenever a black movie does well. Like, oh, I can't believe black people went to see the movies. I'm like, yes, we go watch the movies. Like, how many times does this have to happen before it's not a surprise?
Well, that doesn't make any sense, because isn't the joke black people go to movies and ruin movies by talking during it?
Hey,
No, I'm being dead
that's
serious,
no,
actually.
that's horror movies and
Oh,
comedies.
now.
But it's like if you do a movie, that's like when we go to white movies, we ruin the white movies.
Well,
But we don't go to our own movies somehow. Even though every time we have a movie, it's like, oh, I can't believe it. Like, I would figure with Fast and Furious would have put that nail in that coffin by now, but
I would
still a thing.
figure, I mean, in all. I'm actually not joking, but who the hell goes to Tyler Perry movies? And I'm being dead serious.
Black people and white
'Cause
people who like black people.
I.
And Latins. We get a
I
'cause I'm dead serious. When we used to go to them, it'd be black, Latin, and white people sprinkled in. I'm like, what's this white person doing here seeing a Tyler Perry movie?
Were you asking what white movie sold out? They just decided to go see this? Kind of like whatever opens up against a blockbuster, like the
Yeah.
blockbuster's 200 million and some like shitty night in Reno made 45, and you're like,
Yeah.
what? Who
Well,
wouldn't sell this?
yeah, usually when they're coming in, it's because their girlfriend or boyfriend dragged them there, and they fit that demographic, so.
See, I control the movie going, and she's not home right now, so I have my plan. It has worked out perfect for 6 years. because she'll mention some bad movie she wants to go see. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then I'll purposely, like, plan something for the weekend, because we usually don't go see movies during the week. So I'll plan something on the weekend so she forgets. But then that's all it takes, is that one week, and then she doesn't realize it. So I never have to go to this stuff. I have the perfect system, which I will detail in depth for a small fee. So,
yeah, and the other thing that stood out was we were watching the movie. Like, it was definitely an enjoyable thing. Like, you know, people were getting in the movie. People were getting pissed at the police brutality. I think I heard a few people, like, these kind of whisper under their breath, including, like, white people, like, these fucking cops. And when we left, it was actually not at a show, but a show after ours. And there was something I read about that shook my head. Like, they were saying it was increased police presence. Like, I guess people are going to watch the movie and get so mad they're going to start what? They're going to burn down the theater? I'm like, come on now.
And that's the other thing. Besides the racial part of that, that's also an intelligence part. Like, a total lack of respect for people's intelligence. Because you're going to, I mean, I understand what's going on in the world, at least in our country. But you're expecting somebody to go to a biopic movie and walk out going, I can't believe that's how everything is. Well, no. Like when you went and saw Titanic, did you walk out of the theater getting pissed off at the cruise line? No, because you know it wasn't real. I mean, it was a real event, but it didn't happen now. I mean, unless, and I know this is not true, they decided to make this movie taking place between 2014 and 2015. I mean, it's an utter lack of respect for people's intelligence, which is kind of our bigger societal problem anyways, but whatever. But I saw that on the news, and I even made the joke, like, at work, one friend, Shamika, she went and saw it. She's like, no, it was really good. And I'm like, yeah, I heard the same thing. And we were talking, and she was telling her cousin, Shiraz, like, yeah, you need to go see it. And he's like, when are you going to see it? I'm like, I'm not going to the theater to see that. Look at me. Or something like that. And everyone just started laughing, because we know the reasons why. But that's exactly, like, it's a joke to us. But there are real people out there that would actually get upset by that. Like, actually need the police presence at it. Oh, God, I just remember this. When I worked at the movies, remember that movie CB4?
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay. We actually had a police officer at the entrance of the theater it was playing in. This is bad. I think it came out in, what, 91, I believe? 92?
Early, like 90, between 91 and 93, sometime around that
yeah.
time.
Yeah, we actually had a police officer at the theater showing. I just remembered this. And we never had one for any other one. I take that back. What was it, Malcolm X? It was either Malcolm X or was it Menace to Society? We actually had a police officer at the theater, like at that side of the theater. And now they're still doing it 24 years later.
Yeah, kind of. It's just, it would be laughable if it wasn't so sad. Like, it's just insulting the intelligence of people. And it was like a mixed demographic of people who went to see this movie. And I guess they wonder, I wonder why people would be mad around about something like this. But it's not like we're going to watch the movie and get pissed and then start, you know, turning over cars. Like, if we didn't do it, like, people weren't doing it here when it happened in real life, and it was just happening, like, a couple weeks ago. So, yeah, hearing Ice Cube, seeing Ice Cube's mom get thrown, you know, or Ice Cube get thrown under the car because he's just standing around, like, yeah, we're going to get angry, but we're not going to get that angry because we got bills and kids.
Yeah, it's like maybe, when you're younger, you're going to do that sort of stuff because you got no care at all, but now you walk out of the theater and you're like, man, that's really rough. But I gotta go to work tomorrow, so you know I'm not losing everything I worked for getting mad after a movie.
Yeah.
No, I. Oh.
But it's an enjoyable, like I said, it's an enjoyable movie. It shows a sympathy. Like, the only like villain, I would say Jerry Heller comes off as like villainous, but like part of the business. Like, Giamatti did a good job, like, with that balance. No, just Suge Knight. Like, they might as well play, like, horror music whenever he showed up. Because it was just, he wasn't in that many scenes, But every scene just had weight because, like, you knew who he was and you knew what he did. Like, they didn't overplay it like cartoonish, but they kind of made him. He could have been a lot worse, to be honest. Like, every time he came on, it's like, yeah, something bad's going to happen.
Yeah, well, isn't he kind of like? I mean, I know he's in jail right now, but isn't he kind of that traditional cartoony bad guy, though? I mean, he's supposedly behind all of the violence. I mean, possibly involved with the Tupac Shakur killing. I don't think he was not indicted. What am I thinking of? There wasn't an inclination that he had Biggie Smalls. Oh my God, what's his real name? Or not real name, but
Notorious B.I.G.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Or do I have that backwards? Or do you have both of? Or is he?
It's been rumored with maybe both, definitely Biggie Smalls and stuff. So it's always that, because Jesse just said that aura about him. Like, definitely they show what happened, how they basically Dre left Ruthless Records. He beat up Eazy-E and with basically like a pipe or something.
Oh, jeez.
Actually, originally it was actually him and Jerry Heller both got it, but they didn't show that in the movie. They didn't show the part where he dangled Vanilla Ice over a balcony to get royalties to start Death Row.
Wait, they did or didn't?
They didn't.
Aw.
That should have. I was thinking maybe that'd be like a deleted scene. So, because the director said like he filmed 4 hours, his first cut was 3 hours, and then he cut it down to 2.5. So.
Now there's definitely gonna be a DVD then, or Blu-ray, I should say, of an extended cut then. You can't. I mean, it's a director's job, obviously, but cutting 4 hours down, that's 90 minutes worth of stuff. So it just makes you wonder what they left out. And, like, you're mentioning all this stuff, and I apparently don't know the histories with these guys as well as I thought. For whatever reason, I had no idea Suge Knight was involved. But then, was he the label head that they were on?
No, basically it started where he started off as a bodyguard. Like people in the music industry, like Tyson, then like I think Bobby Brown or something like that. Then he was a manager for the DLC, and he became Dre's manager because the whole thing when Ice Cube left, Dre started paying attention to the money, like how basically like Jerry Heller and Eazy-E was getting most of the money. So then he got in. He basically got his foot in the door like that way, and then they formed Death Row together, and then Dre left Death Row.
Okay.
How that happened.
Yeah, all right. Well, see,
and then he bailed. They didn't talk about the movie, but he got Tupac, but basically paying his bail. Like, I'll pay your bail if you sign a Death Row. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, I maybe should have stayed in debt. Unfortunately. Well, if he actually would have died then, but.
Yeah. So, but no, it was a good, like I say, it was a good film. I recommend it. The acting was good. Like, at no point where I felt it was distracting. Like, it was weird having Ice Cube's son play Ice Cube, but after like the first 5 minutes, you didn't even think about it that way. It just fit. Like, the guy that played Eazy-E was just probably did the best job. The guy that played Dre was fine. They didn't really have Tupac on there. He's probably in there for maybe 20, 30 seconds, because that's probably the hardest role to play. And then it's funny, they had a guy playing Snoop. It didn't look like Snoop, but it sounded like him. Like, as soon as he started talking, like, okay, I know who he's playing, because he had the voice down, the cadence down. It just fit.
Yeah, it was funny. My roommate, the reason I really got into any of that stuff was my roommate in college. He had goofy ass taste. So to hear like someone's acting like did well acting playing Eazy-E is just weird, because I never really got into his stuff. I guess it was his voice. I couldn't do it. And it just, you know. And then he had the weirdest taste, though. He was listening to Pink Floyd, like all the 70s rock stuff, and all of a sudden he'd throw in Snoop Dogg. And then he'd put NWA, the Eazy, and then he'd go over to something new, and it's like, okay. So that's really where I got my most exposure to this, but. Like, the only reason I bring that up is just hearing you talk, I thought I knew a lot more about this than I thought. I don't even know the basics, basically.
Yeah,
so here comes my wife a Wikipedia spiral.
Yeah. Yeah, my wife was the same boat because it's kind of like she knew about the basic stuff, but she didn't know like the history. Like I knew about it because I kind of grew up around it. Like I started listening to like rap like seriously around like 88, 89. So that was right around when they were out. So I grew up on that. And then getting like the Source magazine and all the other rap magazines, like you read about it and stuff like that. It's just amazing that a biography about NWA will one not only just be. I remember when it was first when they showed the first preview, and I heard people getting excited, like we're gonna go see that. And then like you see the previews for it, like during the Republican debate on Fox. On Fox News, after one thing when Trump was talking, they went to commercial, and the first preview they showed was for Straight Outta Compton. So, like people were
Yeah, it makes
talking about
sense.
it. Yeah,
Yeah.
like people were talking about seeing this movie, and I knew it would do well. I didn't think it would do that well. Like it only cost $29 million to make, and
Nice.
it made more. Like people thought. Universal said, we're hoping for somewhere in the 20s to 30s. People guess they make 40, and it made like 22 just on Friday. So like, okay, it's gonna make business. End up making more, like I told you, than Ant-Man did and Mission Impossible 5 did in
Yeah.
its first weekend. And that's not a slap in the face to those movies. It's just showing how, right place, right time. Universal has had a good year. That's all I have to
They
say.
certainly have, yeah. I'm looking up while you're talking. F. Gary Gray, he was a director. He had a long dry spell. Not a dry spell, but in between, he made Friday in 1995, Set It Off in 96, Negotiator 98. He made a couple movies, like just not movies, but he was a director on things, like some greatest hip hop videos, Cypress Hill, Still Smoking. And then all of a sudden he comes back in 2003, and he's got one, two, three, four, five different projects, and mostly videos. And he's only made four movies from 2005 to 2015. He hasn't produced much of anything. He hasn't acted, nothing. But what he has made, I don't understand how this guy doesn't get more projects.
Hey, I mean, you know why? It's kind of like you got limited. If you're a black director, you got limited spots. And basically, Antoine Fuqua has been taking his business because he's really like the
Yeah,
only
true.
like black. He's the only black director that like
Yeah.
that works on like a steady basis. Like Spike Lee works when he feels like it. And other than that, you can't really name a lot.
Yeah.
You got the Tim Stories that. Here and there, or Malcolm Lee, the guy to do like Barbershop and the Best Man, stuff like that. But I was thinking the same thing. Like he was working, then he just stopped working, and
Yeah.
then he just popped up. And it's funny how that happens with like directors in general, and then just like minority directors. Like you don't get the calls, you don't get the calls.
Well, what did Tim Story do before? I know he did Fantastic Four. I'm trying to
He
remember
did.
what other movies he did. Like, what got him Fantastic Four?
I know he was a music video director, but I know he did something before the Fantastic Fours. I'm about to go check myself
Yeah, I'm
because
looking.
let me see. I know once
Because.
I see it. Okay, so he did, yeah, Barbershop. That's what got him
Okay,
that.
so he was Barbershop. All right.
Yeah, and then he did the Fantastic Four movies. Then he did Think Like a Man and Ride Along. So he jumped back into it.
Yeah, but he was another one. Well, no, he kind of worked pretty. He's worked pretty steady, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, but nothing like F. Gary Gray. But I know F. Gary Gray's the guy. He made Friday as well. So, made it for I think
Oh,
how many
you brought that.
minuscule millions?
You brought that up, and it's funny because it was just brought up Friday. Talk about a meta joke. So, Friday they had the line like by Felicia, and people been talking about that line like for the longest. So there's a scene in the movie where Ice Cube is in there with like NWA's in there with this some girl named Felicia and his boy, they're busy doing what rock stars do on the road.
Yeah.
And her boyfriend's looking for her, and he's running around trying to find her. And they grab the guns, chase him off, and then they find Felicia and kick her out. And basically, Ice Cube says, "Bye, Felicia."
Nice.
And everybody in the movie theater just started laughing their ass off. And it's funny, like, reading, that was actually an ad-lib line. He was, like, thinking, it'd be cool if I said this. And it's just hilarious that a movie, you know, Ice Cube's son playing him uses a line that his dad used in a movie directed by the same guy.
I was trying to have this conversation at work. How weird must that have been for Ice Cube's kid, who we have not mentioned by name, by the way, only as Ice Cube's kid. How weird or difficult, not weird, would that have been playing your dad? Especially with some of the not-so-nice things, or just downright deviant, or uplifting, or strong. Like, most children don't get that. No, children don't get that opportunity to reenact their parents' lives. You can read about it, you can look at pictures, they can tell you about it, but now you've got yourself inserted into a movie playing your dad. Like, just how bizarre.
Yeah, while your dad's still alive.
Yeah, and he's a producer, so he's bossing you around going, no, that's not what I would have done. And I'm like, well, get your ass in here, because Ice Cube could have played himself. He looks young enough still.
It would have been fun.
Plus, he would have had to go back to that Jerry curl, which would have been fucking great.
But it's funny, like, maybe, but just everyone else looks so much older. Like, Dre's biggest thing is, like, he's just so much bigger now because he started lifting weights in his 40s. Like, everybody else look old. Like, Dre looks like a puffed-up version of himself. Cube just, like, he just, you know, the only thing changes is the haircut and maybe, like, 10 pounds around the stomach. But he aged well. But no, like I say, it was definitely enjoyable. It was a good movie, and that's it.
Yeah, surprise. And when I saw the preview, I thought that looked pretty solid. And then, you know, especially that the killer opening line when it says straight out of Compton, and I saw that in the preview or the trailer online. It's like, but don't know if I'm getting to this one now or maybe in a few months when it comes off, a few weeks when it comes out on Blu-ray. The way things work now, but I know we weren't going to talk about this. I mentioned it real quick. Fantastic Four. Ooh. I mean, it came in all right. It came in at 4 this week, so I was like, "Wow, that's pretty good." No, it only came in at $8 million, which is a 69% drop off, and it's actually in more theaters than any movie out right now.
Yeah, it's just funny just thinking about how NWA was probably in like less than 3,000 theaters and made what it made.
2757.
Yeah. And Fantastic Four, it's almost kind of like people want to just wash their hands of this entire thing. And it's kind of like, you know, it's the only part, like, it's, you can blame everybody if you want. And like, I know one person that saw it, she said she enjoyed it. I'm at the thing where when it comes out on like Blu-ray or Netflix, I'll check it in. But it just, from everything we've heard, it's almost like Josh Trank wanted to film a certain type of movie. He pissed too many people off. They came and changed the movie, like changed the ending. Because everyone that saw it said it's like, you can tell it's like two different movies. Like his movie and then the last 30 minutes is like straight out of another movie.
See, from what I've like, and that, I think that's the biggest problem with this movie. It was plagued from the get-go. I mean, right or wrong, as soon as they cast Johnny Storm, the guy playing Johnny Storm, you know, knives were out immediately.
Yeah.
Like I said, right or wrong, knives were out, and it was just wait a minute.
Like, you had that, then you had the fact where he had to fight to get Miles Teller because the studio didn't want him, and Josh did. Then he didn't want Kate Mara, and the studio wanted that, so it was almost like he didn't even want her there, so you just had to deal with all that nonsense. It was just a bunch of nonsense. And then all the stuff he was just going through, and the lawsuit, him and his dogs, trash, might cause $100,000 worth of damage to a house.
How do you do that? I got two. I can't imagine them causing $100,000 worth of damage. I mean, I've seen that too, and it's like, what kind of house was this thing? But that's the other part. But I mean, starting from the beginning, and even Miles Teller and Kate Mara, all of them, they weren't that well received. Like, wait a minute, this is the cast? Like, Jamie Bell, the skinny guy, the skinny English guy, is playing Ben Grimm? Like, that doesn't. I don't know. Maybe it goes back to our conversation we always go back to with source material. Like, Ben Grimm was supposed to be a big bruiser guy, which is why the thing looks like that. So, I don't know. It almost sounds like the backstories are way more interesting than the actual movie turned out. But I think we're.
Yeah, like I said, the less said about that, the better. It's kind of like,
Yeah.
right, it was, even Fox was like, this, oh no, this is not the same universe as X-Men.
Yeah.
So.
All that talk of a crossover and they meet like no. But they're still kicking around the idea of going ahead with Fantastic Four 2.
Yeah, as I
What?
probably come out with that same, with Green Lantern 2 at Ryan Reynolds, I'll be keeping that out. And Blade 4 and Batman 5 with Joel Schumacher and all
Yeah.
the rest.
I can't imagine there's ever going to be a Fantastic Four movie again. I mean, you had diminishing returns. I mean, all right, first, going through the history, and I didn't know they were doing this, there's actually going to be a documentary called Doomed about the Roger Corman version. Which I don't know if you've ever seen. It's not good, obviously.
I've heard of it, never saw it.
Yeah, it's well worth watching though. Because the special effects in the story are garbage. All right, there's no way around it. It's a Roger Corman produced movie. You get what you get with those. But they actually had like the camaraderie that the Fantastic Four was supposed to have. It was very, very weird movie in that respect. But then, so you got that never released. So the only time you're going to see it is a bootleg or on YouTube, a copy of a copy of a videotape of someone recording it off a TV. And then you got the two Tim Story movies that weren't good, but they weren't terrible.
They made, like I said, they made money. It's kind of the best way I describe them was like inoffensive. Like they weren't good movies, but if they're in the background, I'll watch them. And considering how this one turned out.
And that's part of the thing is there was no reason to go grim and gritty with somebody called the Fantastic Four, which the grim and gritty, which is what they were going for, a realistic approach to it, and that works with a dirty character like Batman, or what they've turned Batman into, being a dirty
Yeah.
character. But a group that runs around in blue uniforms with a white circle with a blue four in it, one guy stretches, one girl can turn invisible or do force fields, the other guy can turn a like
Turn a
burst into
fire and
flames.
one's a rock monster. It's kind of like,
It's
it's not the movie where you do that. I can see, I think his thing was he wanted to do like a body horror movie, like, just imagine, cause just imagine that you just come, like, I guess it's a scene, like you send your son out to space, he comes back and his body bursts into flames,
Yeah.
and your adopted daughter like becomes invisible, or you turn into a damn rock monster. Like, how do you wrap your brain around it? Like, if done well, that could be a movie, an interesting movie, but I don't know if you, if one, it doesn't sound like he did it well, and then two, I don't know if that just fits. Like, Fantastic Four is kind of like, it has always been about family. And from what I've read, it was like it's parts where people didn't even talk to each other till the end of the movie. Like,
Yeah, Kate Mara and Miles Teller, I think. No.
Jamie
No,
Bell, I
yeah,
think.
Jamie Bell and
Yeah.
Kate Mara are never in the same scene together until the very end or something like that. And she doesn't, and sorry guys, but she doesn't even go into the negative zone or what they called Zero World. I guess they changed the name. So I'm confused how she gets her powers.
Oh, from, I guess, backspin when they come back.
Oh, Jesus. All right. All right.
Like somebody sneezes when they're getting out the car and they just happen to sneeze on you.
So she got her
Yeah.
powers like you would a common cold. That's good.
Yeah.
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 All right. So, anyways, fuck Fantastic Four. I'm so happy to hear you say you're gonna wait for it to come out. Because if you were going to see it, I would have made a point to go and see it.
Nah.
But no, I would
I
probably
report
have
ourselves
lied.
to that.
Yeah. If I won't go see a movie I want to see because of the price, I like with Straight Outta Compton, Mission Impossible, I can't imagine me swallowing money to go see Fantastic Four when I have no desire to see it.
I don't care if it was free. I just wouldn't want to spend the time to go out there to go see it. Like, if unless I didn't have to leave the house, I'd see it then. But no, if it was playing at the movie theater and I didn't have to pay anything and they reimbursed my gas, I still wouldn't drive to see it. It's like, it's no, it's nothing. We were worried about it from Jump Street. We tried to be optimistic, but they didn't have, beside like one decent trailer, they didn't have anything to keep your interest. Everything's been bad, and the movie ended up being worse. So.
And then they made the mistake right before it came out of releasing the Doctor Doom footage of him walking down the hallway. Oh, brother. It's just, if that didn't kill you on the movie, that there's really nothing was going to, you were going to see this movie anyways. It just looked dumb. And it
You
didn't
know
make
what?
any sense, so.
Yeah, you know what that shows? It's just for all the talk about comic movies, it just shows that you just can't throw a lot of money at it and expect it to be well. Like, it takes skill. You got to know what you're doing, because if you don't, you got trash like this. It just makes you appreciate, like, for all the complaints people have about the X-Men, it shows that if you, how skilled, what's his face is when it comes, can't even think of his name now. Bryan Singer and then Matthew Vaughn was like, you could easily mess that up and it look ridiculous. And for the most part, those movies have been entertaining at the very least, and good to very good. So, sorry, Fox.
Yeah, well, it doesn't sound like they don't really have a good track record lately anyways. So it really shouldn't be much of a surprise. But it's been fine for superhero movies this summer anyways. You had to have a dud, and I guess if you want a dud to come out, you want it to be a non-Marvel movie right now. Not that you're rooting against it, but you kind of don't want that Marvel train to go off the tracks yet.
But
So.
it's funny you bring that up, because this year has always been a weird year anyway. It's almost like the placeholder between all the stuff that happened last year and all the stuff that's happening next year. And it's kind of like, people talk about like Age of Ultron, like, oh, like Joss Whedon sound like he was just glad it was done. Like, he was just tired of making movies. And that movie, it didn't do as good as the first one. It still made a crap load of money, like Ant-Man for all the things. Well, we could have had the Edgar Wright version, but we got this one. It's Ant-Man, it did well. Like I said, it's Ant-Man. It's not even like on Thor level. It's Ant-Man. Like, I can't think of, like, I'm sure someone can think of somebody like on a lower level, but we're not even talking about somebody esoteric like Doctor Strange. Like, people have heard of Doctor Strange who don't read the comic books. Ant-Man just sounds ridiculous. And it made what it made, and it was a fun movie. So.
And it's still kicking. It came in sixth place. It made $5 million, $5.5 million compared to the Fantastic Four's $8 million. And that thing's been out for a while now.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, I can't remember what else we were going to talk about, to be honest. I know we always have a bunch of stuff, and I'm.
We're talking about, let me see, because you sent it to me.
Yeah.
So we can just check through that.
I did mention Stephen Amell
Yeah,
working
on air. Yeah.
SummerSlam.
Oh, and Civil War.
Yeah. Which, okay, let's start with Civil War first. Why the hell haven't they released a trailer online yet? That's really annoying. Because it.
And they want to wait till it's ready. You know how, and it's kind of like, it's Marvel, so they're going to do it when Marvel doesn't do anything half-assed, and even if someone would hack it, they would have a way, like, they have a way of doing things their way. And remember, like, when the Avengers, the Ultron one got leaked early, like a couple of days, and instead of them throwing a hissy fit, they just made a joke like, damn Hydra or something like that. Well, here it is. Like, they basically roll with it. But for the most part, they do things on their schedule their way. We were talking about why they didn't have anything at Comic-Con, and it's kind of like they probably didn't have anything ready, and they're saving it for when they want to do it, because
Yeah.
it's Disney, and that's how they do.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty much what we even discussed when Comic-Con was there, that Marvel was barely had a presence anywhere, but they had that D, what was it, D23 or whatever the thing's called, And that's where all this stuff came from over the weekend. I mean, you got some more stuff about Star Wars. I know we're going to get into that. But even DC kind of learned, you know, with the way the Suicide Squad trailer picked up steam, then they were like, fine, and they just released it. Even the Deadpool one, you know, it was leaking so much that they decided, fine, we'll put it out there. But now that I'm saying this and I'm looking online, the Civil War one didn't have a whole lot of traction behind it.
I haven't even seen it yet. I just heard about it.
Oh, so, well, and there you go. And I thought I sent it to you. Yeah, well, maybe I didn't. It looks fine, but it doesn't really give you anything. It was clearly something that was thrown together for that. You got your ideas, and I can't tell because it was taken with someone's cell phone. It almost looks like the Red Skull's in it. And I can't confirm it or not because I haven't been able. Every time I put Civil War Marvel in, it really goes to the comic series. But they did show Ant-Man was in it, you know, Falcon, all the Avengers. Didn't see Thor, didn't see Hulk in it. But I just honestly figured, you know, why wouldn't they just release it already? Unless, I just explained, I guess, that it was just for that thing. But they got to know by now, everyone... You know.
Yeah, but they don't, like I say, they do things on their time, and they're always, say what you say about Marvel, for better or worse, they tend to be professional when it comes to stuff like that. Like, when they release it, it's going to be the way they want it, clean cut. They don't want something like hackneyed on some Portuguese cell phone going on the YouTube, where you couldn't even see what complexion, like the Batman versus Superman one, and Superman looks, you know, Korean because it's so dark.
Well, yeah, and that was part of the Superman Batman one. When the trailer, you know, leaked out, it looked really, really, really dark. And then when they released the actual one, it's like, oh wow, everything's actually in color this movie. Yeah. Okay, cool. That works a lot better. But yeah, the trailer didn't show Spider-Man, even though we all know he's in it. What else? Who else wasn't there? There was something else. But I don't know it. The footage looked pretty cool. I mean, there were actually guys fighting each other, so that was fun. But it really does just seem like Avengers 3.
Yeah, Avengers minus... That's what people say, like Avengers minus Thor and Hulk.
Yeah. So I'm just confused why. I mean, maybe it's contractually. They're like, hey, well, we can't have everyone in Avengers, so we're going to lose them for Infinity Gauntlet. So, all right, we'll do this one.
You know what happened? When they increased Iron Man's role, then that basically had the ball rolling. Because they're not going to... You notice that you haven't even heard of like an Iron Man 4. So it's kind of like, you know, you want to have Robert Downey Jr. in a movie. But he wanted more than cameos. Like, if I'm going to do a movie, let me do a movie and pay me like I'm doing an Iron Man. It's like, well, if you're paying that much money for him, then you might as well expand it out and have as many people as you can.
Yeah. And boy, they sure fit him in there. I don't remember seeing Black Panther, but I did see you sent me the picture of the story about Black Panther finally. You saw the pictures of it. I don't know what I was expecting. You know, like you saw it and I'm like, okay. Like if you look, like looking at the comic, every comic interpretation, I guess it's just a character I've never expected to see in like live action. And everything is just like skin tight, and the mask looks like a panther mask. But then they showed the picture, and he looks like he's in tactical gear with just a black, like a helmet with like a panther sculpted out of it. So I don't know if that's good or bad, though. It didn't fit what I expected to see from it.
I mean, it's always weird. And it actually leads a little bit into something else to think about. It's always weird when you bring comics to life, like how you want to go. And because it's easy for it to look cheesy. And that's why people try to avoid, like, that's why the X-Men always, they just do them like black tactical jumpsuits. Because, like, you know, people complain about that and saying it looked drab. But do you really the alternatives, like you really want Wolverine and the yellow and blue, like how would that look on in a movie screen? Or like, you know, Cyclops with like a blue jumpsuit or like a yellow belt, or like Storm basically looking like a stripper.
And which even, we're getting in Apocalypse, at least. So
yeah, and I was just thinking about that, like, because now you have the X-Men, they're making an effort to look like that, and you got Apocalypse looking like, someone joke, Ivan Ooze from Power Rangers. And then you have Psylocke dressing basically like Psylocke from the comics, and it's kind of like, I mean, it fits, it just looks weird.
I guess because it's the 80s, and, you know, fashion was pretty bright in the 80s, so maybe that's, they decided, this is what we're going with. I don't know.
I'll say this. Marvel has done the best with their costumes because they've done it where it looks practical, but it's not, like, drabbed out. Like, it looks bright, but it looks like move. Like, you look at Thor, you never think he looks like an idiot.
Yeah.
And that's, and in hindsight, it's like, how did they pull that off? Because Thor and Captain America, like, Iron Man looks cool. He looks like a damn Transformer. But it's easy to have Captain America and Thor looking like a goofball if they did it the wrong way, and they didn't do it the wrong way.
Yeah, well, even in Age of Ultron, seeing Vision, who's yellow and red, that was kind of strange, because he's literally got the brightest of the colors.
Mm-hmm.
And so when, like, seeing him flying around, it's like, that's, like, seeing that one guy isn't so bad. It was a little strange, but compared to everyone else with their muted colors. But then seeing, like, everybody else, like, they muddied down the colors of Captain America, like a darker blue, richer red, and, you know, just the white is more of a silver white. Because if he was walking around like a flag the whole time, that'd be really weird.
Yeah, but it's funny because you see his old costume from the first movie, and he's looking like a flag. Like, it's muddled, but it's less muddled.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
If at the time frame, it never looks like, oh, he looks like a dummy. It's like, oh, it looks fine, and compared that to how Green Goblin looked in the first Spider-Man. So
the first Spider-Man Green Goblin, I still find the helmet awkward.
Yeah, because he's talking, and it's not moving. That always throws you off.
Yeah, because I don't know what you're expecting from the comics, though. He wasn't a goblin. I mean, he was talking through a mask. So, you know, but you just expect from reading comics like that his mouth would have been moving. So when it wasn't in the movie, it was just very odd. It still is when I watch it. But
then the flip side is like how freaked out people was when they saw Ultron. Like, you seen a robot, even though we've seen Transformers, so it shouldn't have been that weird. Seeing a robot with a articulate mouth and raising his eyebrows was just, everybody talked to me like, yeah, that was weird. That was weird as hell. Like, it was creeping me out.
Oh,
so, I mean, and that was kind of the point. But I mean, like I said, when you talk about stuff like this, it's like, how much can you do, really? Like, you know, it's comic books. And it's, you know, I mean, it's comic book, and you can talk about logic and how stuff looks. It's like, if it's entertaining, and it's consistent, I'm not going to pick too many feathers, because I already know from Jump Street, the whole, it's ridiculous. And if I spend 2 minutes thinking about it, I'm not going to enjoy it. And I'm not one of these doofuses on the internet, so I try not to think that way.
Yeah, I do think, like, going back to the color scheme, somebody else complained about Bryan Singer. It was a comics professional or actor or director, somebody complaining about the costume, saying they don't need to be like that. But then you see these cosplay pictures of people who are dressed, you know, in the faithful representation of that comic era, or I meant era, I think it came out right. Mm-hmm. And it looks cool, because you're like, oh, it looks like a comic, but at the same time, it's really kind of weird. I mean, just, it's such a jarring reality to see people dressed up like the 1990s X-Men walking around downtown wherever.
Yeah, and that stuff, for everything I read about, like, it looks good until you have to do something in it. Like, it's not practical to move. Like, just imagine, like, you remember Wolverine's costume, not even the orange and black one. Like, from the orange and brown one from, like, the 70s, 80s.
Mm-hmm.
The one from the, like, the yellow and blue one. Just picture Hugh Jackman running around in that.
Yeah.
Like, how would that look? Like, really?
Well, I guess we're never going to know now. But yeah, well, not all right. One guy, I guess, and I guess that's where I was going with the Vision part. Having one character stand out like that's okay. But then you have him, and then you've got Scott, who would be dressed in all blue, and then he had a yellow visor,
Yeah,
right?
and a yellow visor, and I think a yellow reddish belt.
Did he have red gloves or yellow gloves?
Yeah, yellow gloves. I remember that from the video game in the Fox cartoon. Yeah.
I'm trying to
And
think of
then
that
like
X-Men number
Rogue,
one cover.
yeah. And then Rogue with the yellow and green jumpsuit with the brown, leather jacket, Storm in the all white with the gown on, Jean with the red and blue, Gambit,
Yeah.
bright red and like
With a
everybody
trench
was bright
coat.
with a trench coat,
Yeah.
95 degrees,
Yeah,
and red
nobody where you
eyes.
go. I'm wearing this. But then, all right, but here's the problem with Gambit. First, I never thought he was that interesting. I didn't get it. I don't understand why there's this big clamor for a Gambit movie. But whatever. But when they tried taking the trench coat off of him and the goofy headgear, whatever, he looked weird.
He looked normal. He looks regular. That's the thing. And Cam said the same thing because he's like, I never liked Gambit. I've always been a fan of Gambit because it was like he straight out the night. He was cool because he was like, he was. It was always this. I'm not sure if I can trust some type thing. He had a swagger, but he wasn't like an asshole like Wolverine was. And then just seeing him like, flirt with Rogue, knowing they couldn't do anything, and he still didn't care. It was just Gambit was a cool character for the time. I always had a soft spot, even though he's like straight out the 90s
Yeah, it's funny though.
character.
They've tried having him have his own series multiple times, and it never worked. So it's like for a character that was so popular, it never worked in his own single issue. I think they have finally had a Gambit
Yeah.
and Rogue comic after a while, and.
Well, yeah. I mean, most of the X-Men, like, they're cool together, but beside Wolverine, it's like if you take them by themselves, it's kind of like, eh.
Yeah.
I think it's too much like a whole Road Warriors type thing. Like, you don't really want to see Hulk as a singles wrestler. Like, the X-Men are cool because they're the X-Men, but they're not like the Avengers, where the Avengers were individuals that came together and formed a team. They were like, the X-Men were always a team.
Yeah, and that's true of any of the X books. I think the only person, well, Cable had his own series, and Deadpool, but there's really no other breakouts that carry their own weight besides Wolverine. Like, sustained at least, for hundreds of issues
Yeah,
or
like
whatever,
he
but.
basically have like a mini, like Storm. I have a mini series with her and Black Panther, or he had the stuff with Scott and Jean with a mini series. But like, do you really want to, follow Rogue? Like, what's she gonna do? Like, or something like that, or like, Archangel or Iceman. Oh, if I had confidence, I'd be the third most powerful mutant in the world, but I don't, so I'm just gonna mope around. And now I might have been gay 20 years ago when I was a teenager, but that's an alternate reality. Whatever the hell they're doing with him, it's kind of like, yeah.
I don't even know how the hell we got here, but yeah, and I think I mention this every time we talk Marvel. If you look at the comics right now for Marvel, they're going through that Secret Wars thing. I have no idea what's going on with their comics line now, and that, even from an outside standpoint, I can still follow what was going on. But this thing, I really hope they've got a sweet end game picked up, because I saw the new series they're coming out with, but that's neither here nor there. But
Yeah, I'll wait for them to finish with this latest reboot, and then maybe I'll jump in then, because it's kind of both Marvel and DC too many times. I know why they do it, but see, is it? I don't know if it's just me. It's like they've been hitting a reset button a lot sooner lately. Like before, it's like they did it, I guess, in the '60s with the Silver Age or whatever, and then they did it in the '80s, and then all of a sudden they did it in the '90s or twice in the '90s and 2000. Like I know DC seemed like they was doing it from every 20 years, like almost every 5 years. Like then they just have a new 52, and then they changed again. Like now Jim Gordon's Batman and Bruce Wayne
Well,
doesn't want to be Batman anymore, or
yes, well, that's all part of the story. It wasn't a reboot. It's just part of what's going on. But yeah, that new 52 thing was a few years ago, and it was a big mistake. Now, sales-wise, it hasn't been a mistake. But story-wise and cohesive-wise, they're not gaining new readers, which I think is the biggest misnomer out there. And I think I've talked about this before. They'll gain a new reader for one book while they push away the reader of, like, an established reader of that book, and then they go to somewhere else and go, well, I don't really like this either, so I'm going to drop this one too, but someone else picks that one up. So they're saying, well, look, we've gained two readers. We gained two readers on two different books. Well, yes, but you've lost that one guy that was buying 14, 15 books a month in exchange for, you know, 14 different people buying one book. Like, they're not getting any crossover. Like, they're talking about the Batgirl series now that's changed big time. They've kind of made her like a little hipster Batgirl. She wears like yellow Doc Martens now, and
It's
just all that sort of stuff, and they're trying to make it more positive. Okay, cool, that's fine. Batgirl, I guess, kind of could be fun, or should be fun. I mean, just by name alone, Batgirl. So, the critical acclaim, cool, but just like any critically acclaimed movie, doesn't mean people are going to clamor for it. And they're losing other people based off of the decisions they're making. Like, I've always liked the Black Canary character. I always wanted to see what they could do with Diana Prince. Oh my God, I just totally drew a blank. Anyways,
Diana Lance.
Yeah, thank you.
Diana Lance. Yeah.
I always want to see what they could do with her on her own. And she was always tied to Green Arrow. She was always tied to Justice League. So they finally get her away from both of those, give her own series, and they make her a rock star. She fronts a band, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? It serves no purpose, and it's like, well, so much for getting a trial run of her book. I mean, and maybe I'm just not the demographic anymore for it, which I'd say about wrestling too sometimes.
Yeah, but I think there we talked about before, and it seems like ever since the mid-90s, they've had this problem where they've lost people and they never kind of regained them. They've been trying to figure out how to do it, and then it's complicated by how successful the movies are now. It's kind of, you want to keep the old people, bring in new people, but at the same time, you have to respect the wishes of the movies, because the movies tend to bring in the money now, so...
Yeah. I get the feeling DC, all that stuff with Batman and Superman, all that stuff, as soon as the Superman-Batman books, or Superman-Batman movie comes out, all of that's going back to Batman, Bruce Wayne's Batman, Superman's got his powers wearing the suit again, not running around in a t-shirt fighting the police, or the alien police.
Yeah, so, I was wondering about that. Like, I saw Superman with some jeans on running around with like a, why? I mean, I don't read DC like that. I'm like you do. I've always been a Marvel person. But I'm like, I could see the Jim Gordon as Batman thing, because that's different. But they don't know how to write Superman, because it's always been how to make him interesting if he can do everything. So it's always been, let's have him at 25% of what he can do.
That's the only way to make him in any sort of danger. I mean, going back to what you were saying about how they would reboot stuff, they would constantly reboot their universe, and every time Superman would get less and less powerful. Because he used to be able to move planets on his own. You know, back in the Golden Age, Silver Age, all that. And then after Crisis, he was a little less, and, you know, they killed him in the 90s. And then he comes back now, and they haven't explained why, but something's going on. It's like, well, thanks, okay. But apparently the credo came down from editorial that they wanted to really shake up Superman. But keep the core of the character, which I love that. Like, well, who's Clark Kent really? Well, One, they just outed Superman as Clark Kent. So the Clark Kent character is dead. He's always Superman now. And it's a hard character to write, because he's been around so long and he was invulnerable.
I always hate that whole argument of we got to keep the core of the character, because when you have a character that damn old and the core has changed, it's like, well, what's the core? And Superman goes, oh, he stands for truth and justice in the American way, except for when he's being a bully and, you know, not caring about the rules. It's kind of like, well, what's I always make the joke, like, what's canon when people argue about that? He's not as bad as Batman, because Batman has been whatever, like, Batman is basically God at this point, so
yeah.
I don't know how he's like I had a conversation with Cameron. We was joking around about that, how people say they like Batman and Iron Man because they're just normal people that maximize their potential. I'm like, there's nothing normal about Batman and Tony Stark.
Yeah,
like, you know, Tony Stark learning a new type of science in 2 hours, that's not normal.
Mm-hmm.
And like, Batman can, you know, he's an Olympic athlete that what they say, oh, he bashed his head against the wall for a few hours a day to make sure his neck is strong enough to avoid a concussion and he can sleep for 15 minutes. Oh, yeah, that's normal. I'm like, come on now.
No, it is normal for someone who's reached their highest potential. That's what we mere mortals don't understand.
Yeah, like, you can be the smartest man on the planet and you can be the most athletic man on the planet, but normally it's not. You're not both.
Yeah.
The smartest, strongest, rich, you know, third richest and most devious, like, M.O., I can figure out how to beat, you know, Superman.
Mm-hmm.
You okay?
Yeah. No, I lost my train of thought on that one. But yeah, no, at least the Superman part I don't get, because I've always had a hard time reading him lately. I actually enjoyed the 90s stuff with him, because all the editorial was working together. Yeah, unfortunately, you had to read all the books. Now, they weren't the greatest stories, but they were cohesive. And what people forget was the death of Superman, like, the fight was boring. It was the story afterwards that had some intriguing stuff. And they gave us some cool new characters. But anyways, that was really the last time he was interesting. Like, the big interesting thing now is when they rebooted, his parents were dead. He doesn't have the red shorts on anymore. He's now a blogger, something like that. So, okay, just stop. But Batman stayed the same, but now, you know, you've got the Jim Gordon as him, and it's even Scott Snyder said, this is crazy that they're letting me do this. But it's still a story with an ending, at least, where Superman, it looks like they just wanted to try this because the sales weren't what they should have been for what they consider a flagship title. And to go back to what you were saying about, like, what is the core of the character, well, Superman always had a hope around him. You know, he was like a symbol of hope, too. And I don't take that from the movie. That was, you know, he was the bigger in life. He was the guy that, you know, would save the day. And it made him a square. I mean, for lack of a better word, he was kind of a nerd and kind of boring. You know, no one wants to see that, which is kind of a bad way of looking at it. Like, no one wants to see someone doing the right thing all the time. And that's the core, and if you change it, well, then you do fundamentally change that character. Right or wrong, but it all depends on what they want. If they want to go with a new audience, try and get a younger audience, you know, like WWE, Cradle of the Grave, that sort of thing. I guess this is how you do it. You make him a little grittier, and you have him fight alien cops, which I thought was really funny. Because of people like Fox News picking it up and saying, well, look, now you got Superman fighting the police. I was like, ugh. Just give it a second. And then, like, the next frame, the evil cop is an alien. It's like, okay, see? It's a little bit of social commentary,
oh, yeah.
But aliens.
Oh, yeah, speaking of cops, and speaking of what we were talking about, so... we're going to talk about Arrow on SummerSlam.
Oh, yeah,
so,
yeah,
I just went on io9.com. They were saying how Starling City is going to become
Star City.
Yeah, because yes. You see, what's his face? Quentin Lance throwing up the Star City badge.
Yep.
So, hey, like I say, they've done I figured the more they embrace their comic, it was like, okay, this is working. Let's keep going with it little by little. It's like, why not? And especially with how much The Flash did. So I think that kind of gave them more leeway to do that.
Yeah, I mean, well, the nice thing is Green Arrow was such a small character. I mean, if you don't read comics, you kind of know who he is, but he wasn't a giant character. So you could play with the creation of everything. So going from Starling, which even when the show started, I was like, why is it Starling? Supposed to be Star City, and it's like, all right, just give it a second, and now here we go. So, and we've been going a while, so I guess we need to start wrapping up, but I forget, at the end of this season of Arrow, did something happen to Ray?
Yeah, it was explosion.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay.
I think he was trying to figure out how to shrink for the first time, and it was explosion with the suit.
Okay, because they released a set photo of the new Arrow Cave or whatever, and if you think about it, Oliver Queen has no money, which I don't know where he's getting all this other stuff, like where he got a Porsche from and everything else, but it was brought up that, you know, Ray was presumed dead, and I was thinking, why was he presumed dead? I'm confused. And then, yeah, so that makes sense. So then I guess possibly the rights would revert to Felicity, I suppose? And then that's where she would get all the money from?
I mean, he didn't change that when they broke up. But, hey, you never know. I would figure him smooshing up with her old boyfriend. It's kind of like, nah, you ain't getting no dough, ho. Sorry about your luck.
Yeah, well. He can always do the male thing and go, well, I got it first. So that's not in the spirit of the show, mind you. But
yeah.
And we definitely need to talk about this whole thing before the show start up again. We've been meaning to talk about the DC stuff forever. And especially the Green Arrow, or I'm sorry, Arrow, The Flash, and now, was it Legends of Tomorrow?
Legends of Tomorrow and Supergirl, because I think, well, even though it's not part of the CW stuff, I think more and more they're talking about, you know, them more open than having them cross over and be in the same universe.
Well, I saw somebody was, maybe it was CW, that they were not upset, but they were, they knew they made a mistake passing on it, on the Supergirl.
Yeah, I think they said they didn't. The timing would kind of throw them off because, like, the Flash had just started. They wasn't sure how well they would do, and they don't know if they were going to have with three be overkill. And then the Flash blew up, and now they have Legends Tomorrow, so they have three anyway, and it might be more depending on how things are going. So, I guess it was more like if we had known now what we known then, we would have made a different decision, but we didn't know. So,
yeah. Well, I think since I will be a traveling the next week or so. I think next week's show when we get back, just because we know all this stuff, in case something giant happens, I definitely want to talk about Flash for a while. Because I keep seeing casting notes and other news items coming up about it. And I'm really afraid they're throwing way too much into that show now.
You're thinking it's going to be like how Arrow this season was, where they just did, it was just too much stuff going on, they didn't have enough time for it.
Well, yes, and also, like, Arrow at least was in season 3, so we had 2 seasons before to kind of make himself stand out and be unique, find the voice of the character totally. And this season got a little goofy. And like I said, we'll get into it more, but I've already seen that they've got Wally West showing up, Jay Garrick's going to be in it, Tom Cavanaugh is still there as Reverse Flash. Then you got, you know, Barry Allen. And it's like, that's 4 speedsters in the same show with time-traveling capabilities, not including all these other villains and heroes that they're adding in. It's like, whoa, guys.
I enjoyed the first season, but,
you know, when I go on a bender, that's why they're called a bender. Because you get a little bit of something at the beginning, and by the end of it, you've gotten way too much, and it's a bad thing.
Yeah. I'm thinking their whole thing is maybe they learn from what Arrow did wrong, but at the same time, one of the things that Flash stood out from the other shows was from Jump Street, they embraced what they were. Like, we're a comic book show, we're going to do comic book show stuff, and like it or not. And they did it, and they did it well. So people, like, I know people who watch both, but I know a lot of people who they enjoy Arrow and think Flash is too goofy, but then I know people who like Flash and think Arrow's too maudlin or too dark. They like that stuff, and they're thinking, we embrace our comic book roots, so now we got more time. Like, if they have a plan where it makes sense and they give them stuff enough time, then it works.
Yeah.
If they don't, then it won't.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering how certain characters, how much time they're going to get, because they may not be on that show as much, because Legends of Tomorrow is out.
Yep.
Coming out.
Yeah. But we'll get into all that because I think that's a good tease for next time. But I do remember me saying on an earlier show that DC Time Warner has the CW network. So why not just turn that into their own superhero network? And damn it, it slowly looks like that's what they're doing.
Yeah,
Because they
like we didn't.
control the rights to everything.
Yeah, and we didn't
So.
even talk about how Constantine's gonna make an appearance
Yep.
that basically fits into both Arrow and Legends of Tomorrow,
Yeah.
and how weird it is that, SummerSlam is this weekend and one of the matches has Green Arrow in it.
Now, all right. And this is it, and then we definitely gotta go.
Yeah.
He's not gonna be Green Arrow for the match, is he? Because that's really dorky.
No.
Okay,
No.
no, I've seen like people message board, not message boards, those don't really exist much, but like Facebook posts, news items, all that, saying Green Arrow's fighting Stardust, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute, just come out and like maybe he'll have like green pants on like Arrow or something,
Oh.
because the chicks are gonna be all about him, and he's taking that thing seriously too.
I mean, he's a big like he's a big time wrestling fan, and you could tell, like, first of all. And I was talking to somebody else, like, I know we don't really talk about how athletic it is to do that. Like, he does the stunts, you do the salmon ladder thing. Him jumping over the barrier, jumping onto the ring, and jumping over the ropes and spearing them without looking like a klutz, yeah, that takes effort. Like, he made it look like he's been doing it for a while. And he didn't throw those little, silly punches where like you wouldn't hurt yourself. Like he was throwing forearms, like he knew what he was doing.
Did you see the video after he was doing what, a clean and jerk and he hit himself in the chin and bit his tongue?
No, I have
He
not. Not gonna go see that.
it's pretty they don't he's talking but he's talking like this because his tongue is swollen. And he made a funny line because they are, they're filming for Arrow. And he goes, I can't wait to go and loop my lines for Arrow today sounding like this. So part of me is hoping that it is incorporated into Arrow. Like he gets punched in the mouth or something happens. So he does actually have to talk like that. Or if maybe they use that as a cover for why he's talking so weird. It'll never happen, but it'd still
Yeah.
be kind of fun. But I'm looking forward to that match at SummerSlam to get into wrestling for that part.
Yeah.
I don't understand why King Barrett's in it, but that's wrestling talk. But this is finally like a celebrity one where you're like, all right, and like the way they treated it, like you're an actor coming into our world, so you prepared for this. I like that too.
Yeah, like Triple H basically, like, I know you got all hype, but you're not suing us because you got mad. Like, it's no stunt doubles here. What we do here is real business. And he basically played off like, sign whatever paperwork you need to sign. I know I'm not a wrestler, but I'm a man and I'm going to stand up for myself. And he's been talking trash for months. And it's kind of like, it could have easily, the crowd could have easily crapped on it because, like, oh, here goes some guy playing wrestler, trying to get a rub.
Yeah.
But they respect him enough to know, like, he cares about it and he's athletic, but I don't think they're gonna have him play. It's like when Hugh Jackman shows up, he doesn't. They're not saying Wolverine's on Raw. They just say Hugh Jackman's on Raw. So,
I know, but still, WWE makes some goofy ass decisions. So,
oh boy, that will come down to old Owen Hart Harness. Like it's the vigilante on Seth SummerSlam. Yeah, that would get him booed. Him looking that. That goofy green hood. So,
Unless he's like escorted by like RoboCop, Chucky. I'm trying to think out what other movie sci-fi stuff that's happened before.
yeah, I don't know. Well, you never know. Like it is in Brooklyn, they kind of like that hipster garbage. So maybe him dressing up in a green hood might work in that crowd.
I'm sure he'll have some sort of Arrow theme to come down, but there's also copyright stuff too that they may not like WWE and WB slash or yeah Warner Brothers. May not have a working relationship, they
Well,
may not.
maybe
So,
they could get one quick enough. I mean, they got one to work with Schwarzenegger and the Terminator, so
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not saying,
yeah.
that it's not possible, but as of right now, so
Yeah,
yeah.
but no, I think it's a good way to wrap up. I'm just looking forward to SummerSlam, and I'm just amazed. I'm sure they'll talk about it later in the week with another show. that they have NXT the night before and they sold out and it's like 13,000 people.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was this is actually a big Sunday because for some reason they made SummerSlam 4 hours, and it's also, and here we go again with Sundays, it's the premiere of Fear the Walking Dead.
Oh my God, that show.
Exactly.
I forgot that. I knew that was coming up. I didn't realize.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I asked Kevin, are we going to do a convo on that? And he's like, if you want to. I'm like, yeah, sure. Because I think by hour 5 of SummerSlam, I'll be ready to watch something else anyways. So, but yeah, that's this Sunday on AMC. A plug that we don't get any money for, but whatever. So, but yeah. So yeah, my Sunday's going to be busy. Traveling back, Fear the Walking Dead, The Strain, and SummerSlam all in the same night. So I look forward to the days when, well, there are no more days because the way TV schedules work. So, all right.
Yeah.
I'm signing out. We'll be back next week. We'll get into this DC stuff finally. I promise that no matter what happens, we'll talk about it. So, of course, unless something really big comes out, then never mind. But so I'm going to get out of here. I'll let you take us out, man.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and sorry, Fantastic Four, looks like you're straight out of money. You're out.